Today's daf is Kiddush and daf Ayin Tes. We left off on the bottom of daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah on Ayin Ches Amud Beis. So we're going to talk about today, the Mishnah is going to talk about if both the girl or her father and a shliach both accept Kiddushin for her, which Kiddushin counts? Is it does the shliach's Kiddushin count or does the girl slash father's Kiddushin count? Then there's going to be a machlokas amarayim between Rav and Shmuel that most of the daf is going to center around the machlokas Rav and Shmuel if both a girl and her father accept Kiddushin, and then we examine her later and it turns out she's a bogeres. So at the time that they accepted Kiddushin, we don't know if she was a bogeres or not. If she's a bogeres, the father no longer has rights to accept Kiddushin, and her Kiddushin would be valid. If she was not yet a bogeres, then her father did have rights to accept Kiddushin for her, and his Kiddushin would be valid. But we don't know because we see bogeres lefaneinu. So that's going to be Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara is going to challenge Shmuel from two different places in Shas, one involving a mikvah that's nimdad v'nimtza chaser from Mishnah Masechta Mikvos, that you measure a mikvah and you find that right now it's chaser, and another from a case of a chavis shal yayin, and you were mafresh truma based on it, and you find out that it's actually chometz, that what's in it right now is vinegar. And in both of those cases, we're just not sure when the reyusa happened. When did it turn to bad? And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have two different places where it's going to suggest that this machlokas amarayim between Rav and Shmuel is in fact a machlokas tanaim from two different places. And we're going to show that maybe it's not really a machlokas tanaim. And then at the very end, we're going to come to a halachic conclusion whether we pass like Rav or Shmuel. So the large majority of the daf is all about this one machlokas between Rav and Shmuel of a girl and her father both accepting kiddushin for her father accepting it first. But then we find out that she is a bogeres right now, and we're not sure if at the time of the Kabbalah's Kiddushin, she was a Begaris. And after that, in the Mishnah, on the bottom of Amud Beis, Mishnah's going to get into a situation where a guy leaves town and he comes back with a wife and children, and it's a matter of identifying verifying the yichus of the wife and the children when he has to prove who his wife and his children are, when he doesn't have to prove who his wife and his children are. The Gemara is going to discuss, and it may make a difference whether his kids are Ketanim or Gedolim in terms of the proof that he would have to bring for them. So that's the basic outline of the daf. Let's see the Mishnah on Ayin Ches Amud Beis at the bottom. Mishnas and Rishus L'Shlucha L'Kaddish Es Bito. A guy gives Rishus to a Shliach to give his daughter over for Kiddushin, to accept Kiddushin for his daughter. V'halach hu v'kidcha. But then the father himself also went and was Mekaddish the girl and gave the girl over for Kiddushin. So the halach is Im Shalo Kadmu Kiddushav Kiddushin, Vim Shal Shluchav Kadmu Kiddushav Kiddushin, which every Kiddushin was accepted first. They were both authorized, and therefore, if the father accepted the Kiddushin before the Shliach, well, the father certainly has the rights to accept Kiddushin for his daughter, so his Kiddushin is a valid Kiddushin. If the Shliach went first, his Kiddushin is a valid Kiddushin. He was authorized by the father. Rashi writes over here, why is it that if the father accepted Kiddushin first, that we ignore the Shliach's Kiddushin? Rashi says, because by accepting Kiddushin, the father is being mevatel the Shlichus. That yes, he told this fellow, I want you to be a Shliach to accept Kiddushin for my daughter, but by going and taking Kiddushin for his daughter by himself, ein bitul Shlichus gadol mizeh. That's as emphatic a bitul Shlichus as you can get by him doing it himself and taking the Kiddushin for himself. In fact, that's the Lashon of the Riyah Zakein. Ein lecha bitul Shlichus gadol mizeh. But it sounds like the reason that the Kiddush Shliach is not Chal is only because it's Bittul Shlichus, not because simply she's an Eishas Ish. I mean, let's say it's not a Bittul Shlichus. So he wasn't Mevatel, but the father accepted the Kiddushin first. So maybe she's an Eishas Ish by the time the Shliach is Mekabel Kiddushin. What do you need the Bittul Shlichus? Just say that she's an Eishas Ish. So the Achronim point out that the Rishonim actually, and Achronim point out that L'chor, there are two Nafkaminas in saying that it's a Bittul Shlichus, that it's not only because she's an Eishas Ish, but in fact that there's a bitul shlichus. The Meiri points out that what if the guy that the father accepted Kiddushin for her with died before the Shliach accepted Kiddushin. So if you're just going to say, well, she's an Eishas Ish, well then by the time the Shliach accepts Kiddushin, she's not an Eishas Ish. But if you say the way Rashi's explaining and the Riyah Zaken's explaining is that it's a bitul shlichus, once the father accepts Kiddushin, the Shliach loses his rights to accept Kiddushin, even if the guy dies. dies, he's not going to be able to accept kiddushin. Another nafkamina, the Makna adds, a nafkamina if the father is, if the father is mekadesh and said that the kiddushin should be chal la'achar lamed, he accepts kiddushin to only be chal la'achar shloshim yom. So if the whole vart is that it's an eshes ish, well, it's not an eshes ish if the shliach accepts the kiddushin betoch lamed within those 30 days before the father's kiddushin is going to be chal. But if you say that it's a bitul hashlichus, that the father going and accepting the kiddushin is an actual bitul hashlichus, so then you understand that the shliach has no rights whatsoever to accept kiddushin, even betoch lamed. It's not going to work. The Torah writes in the name of the Ramah that if the father appoints another shliach after he appointed the first shliach, and both of them accepted kiddushin, then yachalu kiddushin hashliach hasheni. The second shliach's kiddushin is going to be chal because the appointment of the second shliach is mevatel the appointment of the first shliach. Meaning, what the Torah writes in the name of the Ramah is that just like the father accepting kiddushin for his daughter is mevatel the shliach, so too the father making a new shliach is mevatel the first shliach as well. But the Ramah says the ma'isa we should be machmir to require a get from both of them. But really, mikra din, that's the way we should view it. That's what the Torah writes in the name of the Ramah, that's the din of the bitul hashlichus. Now says the Gemara, v'im einu yodua. Let's say we don't know which one accepted kiddushin first. Shneim nosim get. Then both of them would have to give a get, presuming that they don't want to. She's not going to stay married to either one of them, so she needs a get from both of them. Vim ratzu echad nosim get ve'echad kones. Now, if she wants to stay married to one of them, or one of them wants to stay married to her, so then they don't need to both give a get. One of them can give a get, and the other one will be kones. The other one will marry her. The Ramah writes in Simul Lamed Vav and Ebenezer Siv Zayin in the name of Rabbeinu Yeruchim that the one who's kones has to do an additional act of kiddushin, because maybe the second guy that was the one that's giving a get was really the one that was mekadesher. He's the one whose kiddushin was really chal, and it turns out that she's not yet mekudeshes to this guy that she wants to stay married to. So therefore, you need to do a new act of kiddushin. So Mari Beirav asks on our Mishnah, Lachara, what's the chiddush that if they want that one of them gives a get and the other one is kones? Why does the Mishnah have to write this? So if you would say that the kones doesn't have to do additional kiddushin, I would say that would be a great chiddush that he could be kones or even without kiddushin that he wouldn't. But if you say like the Rabbi Yeruchim that the Ramah quotes that the kones anyway is going to have to do it, so what's the chiddush that one guy's going to give her a get, the other guy's going to do a kiddushin, so she stays married to the guy that does the kiddushin? Of course, it's obvious. What's the Mishnah teaching me? So the Maritz says that no, you might have thought that the guy loses his right to be mekadesher because it looks bad. Meaning, since there was some suffix about who is really married and the other guy's giving a get, one might have thought, well, the fellow that wants to stay married to her gave her kiddushin, now someone else is giving her a get, and now the first guy is going to give her kiddushin again. That looks a lot like machzer grushas alachar shenises leacher. That looks a lot like you're remarrying a woman that you already divorced, because he gave her kiddushin once, then she got a get from someone else, so that looks like she must, that original kiddushin must have been voided by a get. So they must have been divorced, and she got kiddushin from someone, and she got a get from someone else, and now he's going to do kiddushin again on her. So it's nira kemachzer grushasa. It's not actually, because he never actually divorced her. The first guy never actually divorced her, but it looks like machzer grushasa. So says the Marit, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah, that the echad kones, that he's allowed to marry her without any concern, that it looks like machzer grushasa. And the same is true if it's not the father that's involved, it's a girl who's already of age to accept her own kiddushin, and she gives rishus to a shliach to accept kiddushin for her, and then she goes and she accepts her own kiddushin. If the kiddushin that she accepted comes first, her kiddushin is valid. And if the shliach's kiddushin comes first, then the kiddushin is valid. And if they don't know, then and neither of them are going to stay married to her, so they both give her a get. But if they so choose, one of them can give a get and one of them can marry her. Exactly the same halacha now we had in the Reisha, just instead of the father acting on the girl's behalf, we have the girl acting on her own behalf because she is of age to act on her own behalf. That's the whole difference. So says Gemara, okay, if that's the whole difference, then why do we have to mention both of these cases in the Mishnah? We get it. When a girl is young, the father is the one that has the rights over her kiddushin. When the girl is older, she has the rights over her kiddushin. But the terms of the din over the one who's authorized and making a shliach and which one comes first, it's exactly the same din. Says Gemara, Shricha. We need to be told this the same din, both in the context of her father accepting Kiddushin for her, and in the context of she accepting Kiddushin for herself. Why? If I only would have been told the case of the father, the Reisha of our Mishnah, Mishum de Gavra Kim Le Biyuchsin, I would say that's because the father is more confident about Yichus. Avalitza de lo Kim Le Biyuchsin, Emelo Navi Kedusha Kedushin. But the girl who has less confidence about the Yichus, I would say that her Kedushin is not valid. What does that mean, confidence about the Yichus? Says Rashi, Mishum de Gavra Kim Le Biyuchsin, Ukshematza Miyuchasas, Miyuchas is probably Kitchelo, Ubitel Es Hashliach. When the father finds the right guy, a guy who's a miyuchas, he's going to take kiddushin from that guy, and therefore he clearly wants to be mevatel the shliach. Aval itza delo kim lo biyuchsin, but maybe the girl, when she accepts kiddushin for herself from a guy, maybe she's not really so confident that that's the right guy, that he has the yichus. She doesn't know how to investigate properly. Say ima aval gav de kitcha atzma lo bitlas a shliach lo samchal kiddusha. The sover del shliach mishkach miyuchas mizeh. Maybe when she accepts kiddushin from someone, she's accepting it on the chance that she found a better guy than the shliach. But she really wants to go with whichever one finds a better guy, whichever one finds a more miyuchistic husband. She knows when the father accepts kiddushin, he's confident in his ability to research the yichus, and therefore he's clearly accepting kiddushin from this guy and being mevatel the shlichus. But when the girl accepts kiddushin for herself, she doesn't have that same confidence, and she keeps in her mind the possibility that the shliach will find a miyuchas mimanu, someone who's more miyuchas than the one that she accepted kiddushin for, and she's open to letting that kiddushin be chal. So that's why we need to be told the case of the girl as well. V'yeshmin to tell us that no, she's actually being mevatel the shliach by accepting kiddushin. V'yeshmin gabi didah, and if we only would have been told the case by the girl, mishum di itza daiko mintzva, she's the one that's going to have to live with this guy. So maybe she's more serious when she accepts kiddushin by herself, that she really wants to be mevatel the shliach, because if she's accepting kiddushin from someone, it means that she's choosing this man that she found right now. Aval ihu emelo ichbatay. But maybe the guy, he doesn't really care so much. The father doesn't really. He's not going to have to live with the man. So it's not as pressing a matter for him that the guy be exactly perfect for his daughter. So tzricha, that's what we need to be told in both cases, that no, when anybody who's authorized to accept kiddushin accepts the kiddushin before the shliach, we view that as a bitul shlichus, and the shliach's kiddushin is completely invalid. Itmar. Kitcha via bederach. Now here's the machlokas amarayim that the whole daf is going to be about. Kitcha via bederach v'kitcha atzma ba'ir. The father accepted kiddushin for her somewhere else, bederach. It's really lav dafka that it's bederach. It's just that they weren't right next to each other, so they didn't know about it. And then she accepted kiddushin ba'ir for herself in the city. And on the same day. Varehi bogeres. And then we examine her that day, and it turns out that she's a bogeres. So we don't know whether she was a bogeres already at the time that the father accepted the kiddushin for her. If she was, then the father has no right to accept the kiddushin. His kiddushin is invalid. Her kiddushin is valid. If she was not a bogeres yet at the time that the father accepted kiddushin, so then his kiddushin would be valid. So what do we say? Rav amar harei bogeres lefanenu. Rav says, well, look at her. She's a bogeres, and therefore, since she's a bogeres right now, we have a chazaka dahashta that she's a bogeres. We have the right to assume that she has been a bogeres since earlier on, and therefore the father had no right to accept the kiddushin. The father's kiddushin is totally invalid. Ushmol amar chashin lekiddusha shneim. And Shmuel says we have to be choshesh for both kiddushins because we're not sure whether she was a bogeres or not at the time of the father's kiddushin. If she was, then only her kiddushin is valid. If she was not, then the father's kiddushin is valid. So we're not sure, and therefore we have to be choshesh for both. Tosas raises a pretty fundamental question. Mim tomer amay yifligu Rav Shmuel b'chei agavna nivlugu b'kidsha avia greda. Couldn't they have set up the same machlokas without having two ma'aser kiddushins over here? Let's say the case would have been that the father accepted kiddushin for the girl in the morning. Later that afternoon, we were bodek and we found that she's a bogeres. She never accepted kiddushin at all. father accepted kiddushin for her in the morning. Later, we found out she's a bogaris. Same machlokas l'chara. No, Rav, if she was a bogaris by morning time, the father's kiddushin is invalid. If she's not a bogaris by morning time, then the father's kiddushin is valid. So we could have had the same exact machlokas. Why overcomplicate things by making her be mekabel kiddushin in the meantime? So Tosfos says a very critical point that we're trying to set it up where there are no outside chazakos that are going to be a determinant. You see, if the case was that only the father accepted kiddushin, so the two possibilities are either she's married to the guy the father accepted kiddushin from, or she's still single. Is there a chazaka that would indicate which one of those is correct? Well, she has a cheskas pnuya, she was born single, so we would have a chazaka that she started the day single. So that chazaka de meyukara, that she started off single, would have tipped the scales and told us that she's single in that case. But if the suffix is not whether she's married, but to whom she's married, is she married to the guy that she accepted kiddushin from, or is she married to the guy that the father accepted kiddushin from? So she has no cheskas pnuya. We know she's not a single girl. There's no doubt. It's just a question of who she's married to. That's ripe for a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Do we look at the chazaka dahashta, or do we not look at the chazaka dahashta? So that's the case of the, that's why the Gemara Dafka sets up that case. But says still, Amos, when exactly is all this happening? Ilema betoch shisha, if this is happening within the 6 months of when she became a Nara, meaning we ain be Nara Slabagrus al Shisha Chadashim, it's 6 months that a girl stays a Nara before she becomes a Bogeres, so Baham name Rav Hare Bogeres Lefanenu, Hashtu de Bagro, can Rav really say that she's a Bogeres Lefanenu, that she's a Bogeres right now? Throughout that entire 6 months, the way Rashi explains it, at least throughout that entire 6 months, she has a Chazaka that she's a Nara, and we assume that it's unusual for her to develop Simani Bagrus within those 6 months. So certainly everyone would say, if it's within those 6 months, that we assume she was a Nara at the time that the father accepted Kiddushin, even if right now we examine her and she's a Bogeres. That must have been a last minute thing, because it's unusual for her to become a Bogeres within the 6 months. Elo liachar shisha. So what, we want to say that it was after the 6 months? Would Shmuel say that you'd be choshesh for both kiddushins if it was after the 6 months? Once the 6 months are up, she's a bogeres. You can only have 6 months of narus. That's the max you get, a narus. So she would be a bogeres anyway. You can, without simani bagrus, as soon as 6 months pass, she automatically becomes a bogeres. So it doesn't make sense that Shmuel would be choshesh for the father's kiddushin. It's obvious that she's a bogeres. So says Shmuel, Lotzricha, it must be that he accepted kiddushin for her on that very day that the 6 months were up, right, where she's sort of in between. She has no chazaka that she didn't become a bogeres, no chazaka that she did become a bogeres. Rav Amar Arei Bogeres Lefanenu. Rav says, well, look, she's a bogeres. We see she's a bogeres right now, and therefore you have the right to assume that she was as well in the morning. Midash bogeres b'safar nami bogeres. In the morning when the father accepted kiddushin, she was also bogeres. Ushmuel Amar Hashtu da'isi simanim. And Shmuel says, no, it was right now that the simanim came, and therefore she might have still been a nara when the father accepted the kiddushin in the morning. As I pointed out, this was all the way Rashi understands it. Rashi explains that that the case is that both that betok shisha means that the father and she were both mekadish betok shisha chadasha between Narus and Bagrus, and on the day of the kiddushin that evening they found simani Bagrus. And when you find simani Bagrus, she's definitely a bogeres, because even Shmuel says that ein be Narus and Bagrus shisha chadasha bilvad. The way Rashi understands it means that it's a maximum of 6 months between Narus and Bagrus, but if a girl were to develop simani Bagrus before the 6 months, then she would actually become a bogeres within the 6 months immediately, without having to wait the full six months. And nevertheless, the Gemara says that it can't be that Rav would assume that in the morning she would have already been a bogeres, because it's still highly unusual that would happen. And had we not found simani bagrus, no one would ever be choshesh that the girl would be a bogeres. And therefore, now that we do find simani bagrus, Rav says we don't have to be choshesh that it happened in the morning. That is how Rashi and the Ritva understand our Gemara. However, the Tosfos Yeshanim over here on the page in Dibur HaMaskel Ilema. And the Meiri hold that it's not possible that a girl is going to be a Bogeres within 6 months of becoming a Nara. B'toch Shisha Chadashim, no matter what happens, she will not become a Bogeres. Even if you see Simani Bagrus within those 6 months, she can only become a Bogeres at the end of the 6 months. When Shmuel says, Ein Bein Naras HaBagrus Al Shisha Chadashim, he means that you can't be a Bogeres within the 6 months. So Gemara's kasha is that if he was Mekadesh within the 6 months, it's Vadai that the father's Kiddushin is a valid Kiddushin, because we know she's not a Bogeres. So if that's the case, we can't be Gores Vahashtahu Debagra, that right now she became a Bogeres, because the kasha of the Gemara is within 6 months. Within 6 months, there's no such thing as Hashtahu Debagra. It doesn't happen. Only according to Rashi, we can have that Girsa of Vahashtahu Debagra. So the Pnei Yeshua just points out, according to the Shita of the Tosi Shanim and the Meiri, the Gemara Nida says that there's such a thing called Simane Bagras. The Gemara Nida Daf Mem Zayin talks about Simanim that show you that she's a Bogeres, that her body matures in a way where she's gotten to the point of being a Bogeres. And there's a Machlokas Tanoim over there, what exactly those Simanim are. According to Tosi Shanim and the Meiri, there's no Nafkamina what those Simanim are. Within 6 months, those Simanim don't help at all. And after 6 months, she's a Bogeres anyway, with or without the Simanim. So what's the point of the Simanim if anyway it's all about the 6 months, according to the way the Tosi Yishanim is understanding? You can't become a Bogeres earlier. So the Pnei Yeshua suggests that based on what the Gemara's conclusion is, that the whole case over here is on that last day, on that day that the 6 months is complete, that could be the Nafkamina. That's where the Simani Bagrus may play a role. That on that day, if Simani Bagrus hit, then she will be a Bogeres right away with the Simani Bagrus. But if she doesn't have the Simani Bagrus, she's got to wait till the end of the day. But that's wild. That the whole Machlokas Tanaim, Mesechas Nida, about Simani Bagrus is only about one day. It's about that one day in her life, that 6 months after Narus. But that's what the Achronim suggest, according to the Shita of the Tosfos Yeshanim. That's the great difficulty in the Tosfos Yeshanim. Now, just what is the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel? It's a major discussion in the Achronim. What the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel? Most of the Achronim, I think, work with the assumption of Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Kiveger writes in a tshuva that the Nekudas HaMachlokas is that Rav holds that just like we know, whenever we think of Chazaka, what we normally mean when we say Chazaka is Chazaka Dmeyikara, that something was, probably has remained the same since then. What Rav is being Mechadish over here is a concept called Chazaka Dahashta, that if something is right now, we can go to Mafreya and assume it's always been that way. So that's what Rav is telling us. Bogeres Lefaneinu, we have a Chazaka Dahashta, she's a Bogeres, so we have the right to assume that she's been a Bogeres in any situation that's besafek. Whereas Shmuel rejects the entire concept of Chazaka Dahashta. Chazaka means something that was, still is, but there's no such thing as something that is a certain way right now, probably always was that way. That's the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, where there's a concept of Chazaka Dahashta. In the Darkei David, he explains that, no, maybe even Shmuel agrees that there is a din of Chazaka Dahashta. But he holds that just like there's no Chazaka Dmeikara on the day of the completion of the 6 months, because it's Vadai that she's going to become a Bogeres on that day, so too there's no Chazaka Dahashta on that day, because it's Vadai that she started that day as a Nara. So the normally maybe Shmuel would really hold of Chazaka Dahashta, but maybe what Shmuel's saying over here is the Chazaka Dahashta is not going to help when you know that there's a major Reyesa on the Chazaka Dahashta, because you know today started with her being a Nara. So you can't say that you go backwards with the Chazaka Dahashta. But Pashas is like Rabbi Kiveger, that they're arguing whether there's even such a concept of a Chazaka Dahashta at all. So this is Machlokas. So says the Gemara, maybe this Machlokas is really it touches on a couple of other Mishnayos in Shas. Ushmuel Maishnami Mikvah. Why would Shmuel view this any differently than the case of the Mikvah, which is a Mishnah Mesechas Mikvos, and it is a Sugya in Nidadav Beis. Titnan. Mikvah shenimdad v'nimtza chaser. Let's say you measure a mikvah. Everyone always relied on the mikvah that it was a kasher mikvah. It certainly once was a kasher mikvah, and now you measure it and you see that it doesn't have the full 40 saw of water. Kol tarul shenasu al gabav l'mafreya bein berushas yachad bein berushas harabim t'meos. All taros that mikvah dealt with, that were brought to that mikvah, lemafreya, whether they were birshus yachad, whether they were birshus rabim, they're all going to be assumed to be tameos. Why? because we have a chazaka d'ashta that right now the mikveh is chaser. So isn't that against Shmuel? Isn't that a great raya to Rav that you look at the chazaka d'ashta, you look at what things are right now? Hare bogeres lefaneinu. Now it's interesting. We say bein brishus yachid bein brishus rabim. The Ritva explains that the raya of the Gemara is that since even brishus harabim it's tamei. Normally suffik tuma brishus harabim is tahar. So if we're going to say even brishus harabim it's tamei, it must mean that it's not a suffik, that it's a vaday. How could it be a vaday? Chazaka makes it a vaday. The chazaka d'ashta is so powerful that it actually turns it into a vaday. So that's the kasha and Shmuel. This is machlokas rishonim, though, how to explain what do we mean? What happened in Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah? So the mikvah was measured, and the taros are now whether they were Rosh Hashanah or what? What was whether Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah? Rashi in Nidadav Beis says whether the mikvah was located in Rosh Hashanah or the mikvah was located in the Rosh Hashanah. The Ritva says no, that the chiluk between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah is about a suffik tumah. The presence of the mikvah is not a suffik tumah. The presence of the mikvah is a suffik tahara. It's a suffik whether that which was tameh became tar. The idea of suffik tumah versus harabim tar and versus yachid tameh is when there's a suffik whether it contracted tumah in rishus yachid or in rishus harabim. But whether it became tar in a mikvah, we don't find such a chiluk. And therefore, the Ritva explains that what the Mishnah means is whether the taros that went into this mikvah became the taros that whoever was tovel in this mikvah touched after being a guy was tameh, was tovel in the mikvah. And then he goes and touches taharos. And I want to know, is that truma that he just touched? Is that truma tamea or is it truma torah? Well, that you might have thought depends on whether he touched the brishus yachid or brishus rabim. That's what the Mishnah is telling me. Regardless of where he touched that truma, whether he touched the brishus yachid, whether he touched the brishus rabim, the truma is going to be tamei. But bottom line is, the Gemara says, we have a kasha and Shmuel. Apparently, the Mishnah Mikvaos is very interested in the chazaka dahashta. Says Gemara, no. Shaini yasim dikal meimer hamet tamei. In addition to the chazaka d'ashta, you also have the chazaka of everything that went into the mikvah. Before it was ever dipped in the mikvah, it was b'cheskas tuma. So you could say that it has a chazaka d'mei yikara, that it was tamei. But the mikvah is a chazaka d'mei yikara, that it was a kasher mikvah. Certainly at some point it was a kasher mikvah. Last time we measured it, before right now, it was a kasher mikvah. So why don't we go with that chazaka of the mikvah? Says Mara Harecha. The fact that right now the mikvah is chaser is a major reyasa on the chazaka d'mei yikara that the mikvah was once kasher. It's nice to say it was once kasher, but I once had hair also. But like there's these things change. There's a chaser lefanecha, so that ruins the chazaka d'mei yikara. So, but the cheskas tuma of the items that went in there, there's nothing ruining that chazaka. So says Gemara, but then you can say the same thing over here. Hachanami are bogeres lefanecha. What are you going to tell me? That she has a chazaka, that she was a nara, she's a bogeres lefanecha. So says Gemara, hashtu hu debagra. Yeah, but that could have happened just now. Says Gemara, well, hasam nami, hashtu hu dechaser. The mikvah could have become chaser just now. It's still the same. Says Gemara, no, it's not the same, because if you're keeping score, hasam tarti l'reisa, hachachad l'reisa. By the mikvah, there's the cheskas tuma of the item that went into the mikvah, the item or the person that went into the mikvah, and there's the chaser lefanecha, the fact that the mikvah right now is missing. By the girl, all you have is the reyusa that she's a bogeres lefaneinu. There's no other chazaka that plays a role. That's the only thing you have working against that bogeres lefaneinu. So that's not going to be enough to combat the chazaka d'mei yikara. So that's the that's the difference between the two cases. That's how Shmuel that's how Shmuel defends himself. The difference between Tarti l'Reisa and Chada l'Reisa. The Gemara in Chulin as Machlokas and Daf Yudim Maseches Chulin between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. If a person shechts with a knife and then after doing shechitas, you know they shecht like 1,000 chickens in an hour. So let's say the guy didn't check his knife all day. He checked at the beginning of the day. He spent 4 hours shechting. 4,000 chickens later, he checks his knife. and he sees that there's a pegima in the knife. So if Huna holds the animal is aser by like every suffix shechita, where mamad the behema becheskas iser, because before the shechita was definitely aser, it was never menachay before the shechita, so it was definitely aser. So yeah, the animal is a cheskas iser. Rav Chista holds no, the reyusa was found in the knife, not in the behema, so the behema is actually mutter. So it's also over there asked on Rav Chista by the mikvah, we say that that's found to be chaser, that the tovel is tame because of tarti l'reyusa. The mikvah is chasel of anecha, the person had a cheskas tuma. So by the knife also, shouldn't we say it's tarti l'reyusa? The sakin is pugel mufanecha, and the behema is becheskas iser. So you see that it's that we follow the tarti l'reyusa. How come you don't say the same thing by the knife? That's Tosas kasha. So Tosas says that the din of tarti l'reyusa is only by a mikvah where it's an ongoing process. Chaser va'asai, that it's normal that a mikvah little by little is going to lose water. That how does it little by little lose water? It shouldn't have any leaks. If there are any leaks, it's not a kosher mikvah to begin with, right? That's a problem with the mikvah if it has any leaks. But it is a question whether if it leaks really, really super slowly, so then maybe that's not a problem. But just by people going in and out, they bring out some water with them. So it's always chaser va'asai. That's the nature of a mikvah. As opposed to a sack and a knife, there was a moment. There was a moment where it became pagum. And that's the difference. Tarti l'reis only works by a process. But when it's something that was a moment in time, and that moment could have been at any time, so then it's then we don't say the tarti l'reisa. That is a major problem that the Achronim deal with. What in the world does Tosas mean by that? Yes, it's a process that a mikvah continually loses water, but there was only one moment where it went from 40 sa to less than 40 sa, to 39.9 sa. So that's an issue. But Tosas raises that point, that l'chora, this dinner by mikvahos is a problem for that Gemara, about for the Shitas of Chista, at least in that Gemara, by the Sakin and the Shechita. Then the Gemara says, but there's another sugi and shas that may shed light on this. Why would Shmuel say this is any different than the barrel? Again, in our case, Ravet said, Bogeres the Vanacha, she's a Bogeres right now, go with the Chazakadasha. Shmuel was not so eager to follow the Chazakadasha. Oh yeah, but what about the following? Ditanya, Hayabodik as a Chavis Lafer Shalah Truma, Vaholech, Vaacharkach Nimtes Chomet. A guy was using a barrel that he assumed was wine and was being mafresh shumer from that barrel to cover all the wine that he has in his wine cellar. So he's being mafresh shumer from that barrel. He keeps going, and then at some later point, he checks the barrel and he smells it and he examines and he tastes and he sees that it's not wine. It's already turned sour. It's already vinegar. Halacha is you can't be mafresh shumer from vinegar to cover wine. So what do you assume? You assume all the shumer he's been taking from that barrel for the last number of weeks or months or years, that all of it is invalid? So kol gimel yamim vaday. For 3 days, we assume it's definite. Mikan ve'eluch safek. Beyond 3 days, it's safek. What does that mean? Rashi points out it's a machlokas amorayim in Maseches Babasa. What that means. One shita is that the first 3 days after the last time that he checked and saw that it was wine, it's becheskas wine, and he has the right to assume that any chumi he took within those 3 days were wine. But after that, any time after that, it's besafek. The other shita says that no, he just checked it right now, found that it's vinegar. For the last 3 days, it had to have been vinegar. It was vadai vinegar. Any time before that was suffik yayin, suffik vinegar. But bottom line is, v'ramin on chavis ha-mikvah, we ask a steer over there, isn't the barrel, shouldn't it be the similar to a mikvah? Maish nadach vadai, umaish nadach suffik. Why is it that by the barrel we say vadai, we're so confident that kol gimel yamim it's vadai, and by the mikvah rather we say vadai, and by the barrel we say beyond 3 days, it's only a suffik? Says Mar Vam Rav Chanin Masuri, man tana chavis Rabbi Shimoni, digavim mikvah nami, sveika mashvi. No, the author of the brisa by a barrel is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, holds that by the mikvah also, we're not so vaday about it. By the mikvah also, it's considered a suffik. But the Rabbanan would disagree. The Rabbanan would hold that both by the mikvah and by the barrel, it is a vaday. Titania called our shenasal gabav lemafreya bein brishus yach bein brishus ram tameos. That's what the chachamim held by the mikvah. Rabbi Shimon om brishus ram taros brishus yach tolin, and Rabbi Shimon would say, it depends on brishus yach and brishus ram. He follows the dinim of suffik tuma. Aval Rabbanon, if we follow the sheet of the Rabbanon by the mikvah, where it's vadai that it's tameh, so over here also tevel mafreya, it's vadai tevel. So why is it that we're following the chazaka dahashta by the barrel, and Shmuel is not willing to follow the chazaka dahashta by the bogeras? It seems to be a stira. Now, not to follow the chazaka dahashta. Now, it's interesting. The Gemara clearly associates the barrel and the mikvah. Whatever you're going to paskin by the barrel, you got to paskin by the mikvah. So, of course, the Rambam splits the psak, and that's a major discussion in the Achronim. That the Rambam in Ilkhs Mikvahs Paragir Allah Chavav paskins like the Rabbanon by the mikvah, that it's Vaday Tameh, and when it comes to Truman, Ilkhs Truman's Paragir Allah Chavdalid, he paskins that it's a Suffolk. So that's a very big problem in the Rambam. All the Achronim, all the Mefarshei Rambam work on that problem. But bottom line is, for our Gemara, our problem is that why is Shmuel going against the sheet of the Rabbanon by the barrel? Says Gemara, same answer. Shiny Hasim Dikal Memer Hamet Tevel Al Cheskaso Vemilonitkan. Because over there you have a chazaka that the Tevel is Tevel, that the Tevel was never fixed. Adrava Hamet Yain Al Cheskaso Vemilo Hichmitz. No, maybe we should look at the chazaka of the wine and assume that it never became vinegar. Says Gemara, Hare Hichmitz Lefanecha. But it did become vinegar, you see it. Hachanami Hare Bogeris Lefanecha. Yeah, but in our case, the girl became a Bogeris. She's a Bogeris right now. No, but Hashtu Debagra. We could assume maybe right now she became a Bogeris. Well, Hachanami Hashtu Dichmitz. Hasanami Hashtu Dichmitz. Over there also, you could say that it only became vinegar right now. So again, the Gemara says, Hasam Tarti Lereisa, Hachachadal Reisu Deika. By the case of the barrel, you have two factors going Lereisa. One, that it's Chometz right now, and second, that was Becheskas Tevel, that all the chumas were Becheskas Tevel. Over here, all you got is Bogeris Lefanecha. So that's why Shmuel is unwilling to follow the Chazaka Dahashta over here, because all you have is the Chazaka Dahashta. But over there, in the cases of the barrel and the mikveh, in addition to the Chazaka Dahashta, you also have a previous status, a Chazaka Demeikara, to support the Chazaka Dahashta. So Neima Ketanoi, says Gemara, maybe this whole Machlokas Rav and Shmuel is really Machlokas Tanayim. Rashi explains, the case is a guy writes his nechassim to somebody, writes that he's giving all of his nechassim to somebody, everything, every last bit of what he owns. And the halacha is that a shchiv meira who does that, someone who's dying, and he says, I'm giving everything away to so-and-so, and then he gets better, so the whole matana is void. He was obviously only doing it because he thought he was dying, so he didn't think, he wasn't stam doing it. But a healthy person who does that, so it's a matana. He's crazy, he's giving everything away, but it's a matana, it counts. So now there's a dispute whether he was a shchiv mera or he was a bari at the time that he was kosev kol nechas of la'achirim. So the mi motzi miyad mi, who could take the money away from who? So who motzi miyadam? He can take the money back from whoever he gave it to, below raya, without having to prove that he was in fact a shchiv mera. Ivon va'in motzi miyadam below raya divra biyakov, but v'hein in motzi miyadam below raya, but they cannot be motzi from him without a raya. That's Rabbi Yaakov's shita. Rabbi Nosson Omer, in barihu, a love lavi raya shay shchiv mira. If right now he's healthy, then he better prove that at the time that he was kosev kol nechasav, that he was a shchiv mira, and that therefore the whole matana is void. Vim shchiv mira hu, if right now he's a shchiv mira, alehem lavi raya shabari haya. They're going to have to prove that he was in fact a bari, and that they're going to be entitled to keep it, even if he gets a refuah, even if he gets better. So name of the Rav Damar Rabbi Nassan. Rav apparently follows Rabbi Nassan. You follow Chazaka Dahashta, what is he right now? And that's what we're going to go with until someone could prove otherwise. With Shmuel, Damak Rabbi Yaakov, and Shmuel follows Rabbi Yaakov that I'm not interested in the Chazaka Dahashta. I'm going to assume that he was a Shchiv Mira at the time that he gave away everything. So I'm looking at Rav, I'm not Damri Afil Rabbi Yaakov. Rav could say, no, even I would agree with Rabbi Yaakov in this case. I mean, even though normally I'm very into Chazaka Dahashta, I'm not so sure we follow Chazaka Dahashta over here. Because I'd call no come Rabbi Yaakov, Asim Dikal Amemer Heaven, Mamon Al Cheskaso. Because there's a Cheskas Mamon as well, that the guy as a chazak in his own money. Aval hacham he name Mehemet guf al chazkaso. But over here, are we going to say that we're going to establish the guf on its chazaka? Ushmuel amar anod amri afil Rabbi Nosson. And Shmuel would say, I could even follow the sheet of Rabbi Nosson. Ad kal lo kam Rabbi Nosson asim du kuliyam lo b'cheskas briyim kaimi. Most people are assumed to be healthy. So manduka mapik nafshe mi chazaka havi alei lasu yiraya. The one who wants to show that he's against the chazaka, that he's going to have to bring the raya that this person was not like most people. But over here, there is no previous chazaka that we're trying to undo. So that's why Shmuel would say that it's different in the case of a bogeres than in the case of taking the money from the person who gave away all of his money. So that machlokas tanaim is not necessarily a reflection of this machlokas amaraya. So rather, says Gemara, neima kani tanaim. Maybe it's the following machlokas tanaim that should play a role. Kitcha via bederach v'kitcha atzma v'ir v'arei bogeres. The father took kiddushin for her in one place, she took kiddushin for herself somewhere else, and she's a bogeres. Tani chada harei bogeres lefanenu v'tanya idach cheshin l'kiddusha shneim. This is mamish, it's the case of Rav and Shmuel. And instead of Rav saying harei bogeres lefanenu, it's tani chada, it's a braisa that says harei bogeres lefanenu. Instead of Shmuel saying cheshin l'kiddusha shneim, it's tanya idach that cheshin l'kiddusha shneim. So it's clearly a machlokas tanaim. You can't get better than that. My love, chad ka Rav, chad ka Shmuel. Isn't it one braisa following Rav, one braisa following Shmuel? How can get out of this one? Says Marlo, idividi Shmuel. Both prices are following Shmuel. Kan be machashto, kan be in machashto. Question is she disagreeing with the father? If she's saying I was a bogeres the whole time, that I was already a bogeres before you accepted kiddushin, so that's where we're going to say that hare bogeres lefanenu. But if she's not makhish what the father says, that's when we say that it's safi kiddushin. V'neima midemas nisa lo palagamaroi nami lo pliki. Great. So if those brises can even work with each other, then maybe Rav and Shmuel are really working with each other and not against each other. Maybe they're also not arguing and they're just talking about two different cases, whether she was makhish or not. But they once passing like Rav and Shmuel got all upset. Hard to imagine that they agreed. Most people are cautious in cases of safek. He's like measuring with a large utensil. He has such confidence. He has chachma in large measure, and that's why he's somich on his great chachma, and he passes that this woman doesn't need a get from the man that the father accepted kiddushin from, and he's not choshesh of a safek eshesish. So the Gemara says v'yisal kadai delo pligi. But if Rav and Shmuel never argued, amai kamakpid, why would Shmuel have gotten upset when Rav Yosef paskin like Rav? So says Gemara dilma kiavad uvda v'machashto. Maybe he paskin like Rav in the wrong case, in a case where the girl contradicted the and said that she was a bagaris the whole time. We passing like Shmuel. Ravashi Amar, no. Hilchsa kavasei derav. We passing like Rav. And then the sum of the Gemara says Hilchsa kavasei derav, that we in fact passing like Rav. Tos points out that you normally wouldn't need to tell me we passing like Rav. In general, the rule in all the Shas is Hilchsa karav b'yisuri. But because over here there seemed to have been some dispute in the Amarayim whether to passing like Rav or not, that's why we went out of our way to dafka say that the halacha follows Rav. Okay, Beis Hashem, we'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow.